Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, high atop the radio world in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in downtown Portland, Oregon. We welcome all of our affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network. Our blessings go out to Camaro Dave this week. So we're thinking about you out there, brother. We have a special guest this week. He's been on the show before. He's the Baron of Barbecue. It is Chef Paul Kirk from Kansas City area. I'm sorry, my mic was turned down there a little bit, so I fixed that. And we're going to talk to Paul in just a minute. Our music this week is from our old buddy Alan Jackson. And this portion of Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. From the heart of the Pacific Northwest, beef you can feel good about. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. So welcome, our friend Paul Kirk. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine, JT. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Besides getting a little chilly right now, it's like we were talking off
the air. Don't give me that. It's minus 4 degrees. Below zero here. And you're chilly?
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah. Well, we did have over in Eastern Oregon, which is a little ways from here. It's, you know, it's in your neck of the woods there. It's the -4, -12. Then they get a wind chill factor, so it's pretty damn cold over there. We don't quite get that here in the valley. We're a little sheltered from those negative temperatures, and you're out there on the high plains, so you get stuck with it.
Yes, we are.
So since we've talked to you, it hasn't quite been a year since we talked to you, Paul, but very entertaining. A lot of good comments about the last show you were on. Give us an overview of how you think barbecue has progressed or regressed. Start with the competition levels in this last year.
I think it's regressed, but you know, I come from the old school where we didn't cook in foil and stuff like that. I had somebody ask me, what do I have against foil? I don't have anything against foil. I just don't cook in it. To me, it's a shortcut, and too many people now think that is what good barbecue is. And I'm sorry, I grew up a little differently, but if it's not broke, don't fix it. Go ahead and do what you want to do, but I don't think it's really helped to put out a great product. They may put out a good product, but I mean, I just have never got into that. It's a shortcut, and if I know I'm going to have to barbecue, say, brisket, it's going to take me 12, 14 hours or so. I'm going to set that time aside that I need to be there to watch the pit back and forth. I don't have to sit there and watch it, you know, every second of the time.
Sure.
But I know I have to go back, say, every hour, hour and a half, and reload the pit. I don't have to look to see how the meat's going because I know how it's going. So, I mean, that's just me. And like I said, I'm old school and old.
That's okay.
But, you know, you just get such a better product. And I remember, this is years ago, on Ray Basso's forum, and I have no idea if that's still even an entity now. But anytime somebody would be talking about me, somebody would email me and say, Paul, are talking to you about on Basso's forum. And so they asked me what I had against foil. I don't have anything against foil. I just don't cook in it.
Right.
And one guy came back about 3 weeks later and says, I tried Paul's and it does taste better, but it takes longer, so I'm still going to cook in foil. Okay. You know, yeah. I thought barbecue was about flavor and taste. So
Is it? Let me ask you this: is it possible, in your opinion, that not just civilians, and I say that as civilians, as just people that go out and to a barbecue restaurant every once in a while and have it, or they, you know, grill a steak in their backyard, and that's kind of their version of barbecue, which is just fine. But
I agree.
Do you think it is possible that some of these people that are out there now have never actually eaten good barbecue or traditional barbecue, and so they don't know?
Most definitely.
Yeah, I'm just curious about that because they, you know, it's a taste. We all have our own preferences in taste,
right?
You know, and that's fine. That's why we're all different. That works. But some of the basics have to stay the same to get it to the point where the seasoning and the technique of doing it give it that little difference. That little, and we're talking small differences, not huge
right.
differences. Yeah,
right.
So, what's your thoughts on that?
I agree. That's just like a lot of these new judges. They've never tasted what we consider real barbecue. So that's what they have to go by. And, you know, and I think that's where competition barbecue has fallen down.
Do you think there's hope to pull it back up?
There's always hope.
That is true. That is true. I just always curious because I, you know, doing this show, and this show is very well received, and I thank everybody for that all the time. But I never tell anybody that, you know, it's wrong. What they're doing is wrong. I tell them that if that's what they like, then it works for them. That's fine with me. But again,
right.
but I'm kind of a traditionalist like you in the fact of if I'm going to do a brisket or, you know, a flat or something like that, I set aside that time, whatever it is, 8 hours, 12 hours, whatever I figure it's going to take for that particular piece of meat. That's what I do. I try not to short circuit it.
Right. I just tell them, you know, if they ask me, and you know, I will critique it. And if you don't want my opinion, don't ask for it.
Right.
If you would like, you know, it's fine what you're doing if that's what you like. But if you would like try such and such and such and such, it might be even better.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a suggestion like that, rather than try to beat them down. Because like you said, it's their taste, their taste buds. So that's what they have to go by.
You know, one thing that we did, and I told you this before, I don't know if you recall this, but I came out of the horse world and competitive horse world years ago.
Right.
And there was a standard. There was a standard, performance standards for each different class that they had to meet. There was performance standards in what we called for the model classes, meaning the horse's conformation. We actually had pictures of trying to get the live horse. We didn't use them in the arena, but we were trained this way and say, you know, the closer you can get to this, the better it is type thing.
Yeah.
I wonder in barbecue if, you know, they couldn't ever come up with a standard and say, this is good. Now, the flavor might be a little different, but the standard might be the same as far as texture and moisture and all that. What do you think about that?
I just say good luck. everybody has their opinion. So how are you going to get that to come down to one or two or three, even 10 different parameters to judge by, you know, you have to go by your taste. And like you said, nobody has the same taste buds and flavor profile. So
yeah, no, they don't.
Well, I forgot to mention Happy New Year to you.
Oh well, thank you.
Since it's the year of the pig, and
yeah,
I always celebrate that every year, the Chinese New Year.
There you go. Hey, we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with the Baron of Barbecue, Chef Paul Kirk, right after this. Don't go away.
Daddy, on a radio. He tuned it to a country show. I was rocking in the cradle to the crying of a steel guitar. Mama used to sing to me. She taught me that sweet harmony. Now she worries cause she never thought I'd ever really take it this far. Singing in the bars and chasing that neon rainbow. Living that honky-tonk dream was all I've ever wanted. Is to pick his guitar and sing. Just trying to be somebody. Just want to be heard and sing.
Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. Barclays, buysellpawn.com.
Don't rock the jukebox. I want to hear some Jones. Cause my heart ain't ready.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and to all of our affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network and to our affiliates in Texas, we thank you very much for being with us. If you've got an email or a question for us, it's Barbecue Nation, that's BBQ Nation, at alphamediausa.com. We also have Facebook with Barbecue Nation with JT and Twitter, and we've got all the social media platforms that stuff gets sent out on every week. We're with Chef Paul Kirk, the Baron of Barbecue, today. And over the years, Paul, have you seen a vast improvement in the quality of meats that we use? Barbecue, when I was a kid, barbecue was kind of this, what you cooked, what was really what you didn't know what else to do with it.
Yeah, the leftovers.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, who's the big meat producer up there that comes out with?
The Snake River folks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, some of their brisket's unbelievable. Now, I primarily use certified Angus because I can call my distributor up and tell him how many briskets I want, and he'll put my name on them and throw them in his cooler and age them for me for usually 3 weeks before if I go in a competition. I've bought in cases of certified Angus, and they're supposedly the top choice of the choice market, and I'll find prime briskets in my case.
Yes.
I love the certified Angus. That's primarily what I use, and then I don't have to pay the exorbitant price like Snake River, and I forget who else is out there. They're great briskets, and just like people are paying, you know, $60, $80 for a brisket for the Wagyu, I mean, that's nice, and they're good, but I'm not going to pay that for a brisket. Well, I take that back. Brisket is so high now, and I used to complain when it was 49 cents a pound.
I know. It does kind of slay me, even if you go into a grocery store, and it's one of the better higher-end grocery stores, and so you know that it's going to be, you know, Choice or Prime or something like that, and they've got it all there wrapped up, and they look at it, and it's like, you know, $64 or something like that. And I'm like,
yeah,
God, I remember when we used to buy those for 12, you know?
Yeah. They don't want to buy the place, you know?
Well, I guess we're showing our age here a little bit, Paul.
Yeah, but I'm older than you are.
Well, yeah, but I've got a really good memory, so I can remember all this stuff.
I used to have one.
What about hogs? What about pork? Same question. I mean, has the quality of pork improved, or are we still, you know, knocking out hogs every day? And I know the yield has improved for the producers, but I don't know about the quality.
They're trying to come back with the heritage hogs, and I have access to a company that does process them here in Kansas City. And I'm very fortunate because my brother-in-law owns Bickelmeyer Meat Company, and I can go down in the cooler and see the hogs that are there and that he has, and I can say I want the shoulders off of that one or that one and stuff like that, and then I could go up to north of Liberty and get, and I can't think of his name now. His name is Lewis, but I can't remember the name of the company. I've been up there this year. They do heritage hogs, and they're much more fat. They're more they're well marbled. I'll put it that way, rather than just use the F word.
Yeah.
Because that turns people off. And you know, and that's where the flavor is in the marbling, and that's what's so nice about the certified Angus or the Snake River, and those type of things. I mean, they raise them that way, the old way. I want grass fed. Well, grass fed is fine, but when we were over in Ireland competing in the World Championships, I went to Halpin's Meat Market in Limerick, Ireland, and said I want the brisket off of that front quarter and that front quarter, not taking in consideration they're all grass fed. Well, they have no marbling.
Right.
I mean, flavor was okay, but it wasn't what I expected. And so in the United States, a grass fed steer is finished on grain in the feed market.
Yeah.
So let's quit playing these games. You know, this is this, and
well,
go for it.
I kind of tell everybody.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, I tell everybody that asks me, is grass-fed? And I said, all cattle are grass-fed. I mean, that's what they eat.
That's
you know?
What they live on.
Yeah. So it's not like, you know, they're over there living on, you know, sugar beets or something all the time. They're grass fed.
Right.
So,
yeah,
it's kind of a misnomer, and it's, I think it's kind of from the beef industry standpoint and stuff. I don't know if it's done them any favors really, because it's one of those kind of oxymoron deals where, you know, people get really fired up, and I've seen some advertising campaigns about, you know, a really good grass-fed steak.
Yeah,
you know, that's not, if you got one that was just strictly grass-fed, it would be one back from, you know, that came off the trail drive in 1879, and it would be tougher than a boiled owl. So there you go.
Yeah.
Do you have what do you look for when you're selecting a, like pork? What does Paul Kirk look for?
Basically, I look for size. I want a 9-10 pound pork butt. I cook more pork butt than I do whole shoulders. I don't mind marbling on it, or we'll say fat. I look for the money muscle and competition. That's pretty much it. Size and the construction of it.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, we're going to take another break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with Paul Kirk, the Baron of Barbecue, the professional chef and world-renowned competitor right there in Kansas City right after this. Don't go away.
Don't rock the jukebox. I want to hear some Jones. 'Cause my heart ain't ready for the Rolling Stones. I don't feel like rocking. Gone. So don't rock the jukebox. Play me a country song. Before you drop that quarter, keep one thing in mind. You got a heart broke hill.
It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. 503-982-2033 at BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios here in downtown Portland, and we've got Paul Kirk with us today. Before we talk to Paul, we want to say thanks to our sponsor, Painted Hills Natural Beef, from the heart of the Pacific Northwest. Comes a beef product you can feel very good about. And also, my buddy Mark down at Barclays, if you've got some extra tax refund coming, or you might, consider buying some gold and silver from Barclays down there in Woodburn. take a look at that if you do. Also, you can find this show on SoundCloud. You just got to type in Barbecue Nation, spell it out with JT. And again, our emails are bbqnation@alphamediausa.com. We've got Paul Kirk with us today. Let's do a little reflection here, Paul. Over all the years that you competed, and you were just telling me off the air, you've competed in every Royal except the first one, and so on and so forth. What do you think is the biggest thing you've learned?
I don't know. I think you learn every time you cook if you pay attention, and I think that's a lot of it. The biggest thing, I have no idea other than patience, which I can't really say I have a whole lot of, but, you know, doing what you love really makes a difference, and your attitude makes a difference. And I never realized that until, and this is many, many years ago, we were supposed to go to Ireland to do a world competition, and I was having a hard time getting a passport because I was born in Vancouver, Canada, because my dad was in the Royal Canadian Air Force, even though he and my mom were from Kansas City area.
Sure.
And so getting my passport was a problem because all my dad's records were destroyed in 1910 in a county fire. Courthouse, and then my mom had a passport, so I should have been able to get it just on that. But I went round and round, and finally I was getting ready to leave for a contest down in Paola, Kansas, and the government called me and said, "We've been trying to get more information. I've been trying to get a hold of you, and for the last 2 weeks," I said, "No, you haven't." I said, "My phone tracks every phone number that comes into my house. Because I have a fax machine that does that."
Yeah.
And said, "Well, we need more information." I said, "I don't have anything, any more information." I said, "The only thing I have is my mother and father's marriage certificate, which isn't signed by the government. It's signed by a priest." Said, "Well, you saying that?" I said, "My mom will not let that out of the house." I said, "That's all she has left of, because my father is deceased." And so finally I called the senator, and I forget which one, all of the congressmen and senators in Kansas, and finally they set it up that she could take, or I could take her up with the marriage certificate to the postmaster in Shawnee Mission, and he can verify it. And that's how I got my passport. But that night I went down to Paola, and everything I turned in, I didn't come in DAL, but I did come down closer to the bottom than I ever came in my life. And then finally got my passport at 7:30. We left for Ireland at 11.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if anybody's ever had those kind of problems, I had kind of the same thing going to Saudi Arabia. It finally showed up about 24 hours before I left because, and it has to be approved by the Saudis. You have to be invited to go there. You cannot just show up. You know, it's not like going to London or something like that. You just can't just go, "Well, here's my passport and I'm here." They don't do that over there. So I've had those experiences.
It's not fun.
No, it's not. You know, if I ask you who was one of your barbecue heroes, who would you say, Paul?
Ooh. That would be difficult. I mean, I go back to the old guys like Billy Bones. Stuff like that, people back in the beginning that, you know, you ask them questions and they try to help you.
Yeah.
And they don't worry about, you know, anything John Raven, who most people don't know, he started the Texas Barbecue Association. He used to be big in Chile. Big Bad McFaddy is what he went by. He, just talking to him and all his experiences with chili and with barbecue. In fact, that's the first barbecue organization I joined, and he eventually sent me back my check. I think it was just $16, and he says there's not enough interest, so we just really won't do anything.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let me ask you this. Who of all the competitors out there today are you kind of fond of? There's a lot of top-notch guys out there and gals, but who do you kind of say, I like what they do?
Nobody.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't really keep track of it.
Yeah.
I do it because I love it. I like doing it. I don't worry about what other people do. And just like the team that won the KCBS head cook, or the, I forget what they even call it anymore, and I won it once, so. But I don't worry about that. I mean, I congratulate them. Good luck. I don't consider it one of my world championships because one guy that did win it, he used to cherry pick these little contests and go out and cook them. And I don't think he's that good of a cook, so I don't care. I don't care what other people do. I enjoy what I do, and
well, yeah. No, I understand. I understand. Well, let me ask you this. How can we promote competitive barbecue better?
Make it fun for the participants. Being able to taste, whether it's buy a taste for a quarter or a dollar or whatever. And I mean, that's the biggest thing. People go, oh, I'm going to American Royal. I want to eat all kinds of barbecue. Well, sorry, the health department says they can't give it out to you. I tell people, if you go to a barbecue contest and it's prohibited for them to give out samples, go introduce yourself to teams, watch them, talk to them, don't expect anything. And if they invite you in, you're their guest, so they can give you all the barbecue.
Yes.
There is.
Yeah, I've been to some competitions out here, and I think people that don't know any better get dismayed that they can't just walk down the line.
Not quite how I would have put it, but
yeah,
we're on the air.
yeah, that's true. But, you know, they do get that, and I think the more fun you can have at a barbecue competition, the better. You know, you got a lot of downtime, so there's got to be other stuff to do to entertain the public. I think that would be a good. Real quick here before we go to break, Paul, if I ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most, how much barbecue do you eat on a regular basis? What would your answer be?
Probably 5 to 7.
Yeah.
That's just like, you know, I was talking about New Year. I did pig candy for the year of the pig. Then I did Szechuan duck, did char siu, Chinese barbecue pork, which I made into char siu bao, which is steamed buns, and I also made it into a stir fry. Did some wings for the stupid bowl, and a turkey for friend of my wife's, and then that's pretty much what I did. Then I'm going to hopefully put the recipes and all that, send it down to Lang, let them put it on their website, since that's what I cook on.
Yeah, Ben will like that. Ben will like that a lot. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and wrap up Barbecue Nation with Paul Kirk right after this. Don't go away. Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Hey, we're back here with Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, Dr. Dave, and we've got Paul Kirk, Baron of Barbecue, Chef Paul Kirk, Monsieur Paul Kirk. We can say he's got a lot of titles, but he's a good guy. He's been around for a couple of days. He knows what he's talking about. If you've never, how many books have you written, Paul? Like 13 or something?
12.
12?
I've got another 4 or 5 on my computer, but don't have a publishers. Hard to get a book published this day and age.
Yeah, it kind of is. It kind of is. Well, maybe somebody listening to this show will be a publisher and help you out there.
Yeah. Right now what I'm working on is little booklets. I'm working on one for a veterans group that I do some charity work with, and 50, 75 recipe booklet type thing that they can sell for $10 and make money on it.
Sure.
So I'm getting into that more now than the big cookbooks.
Takes a long time to write a cookbook.
I have probably close to 100,000 recipes on my computer. Just in bacon alone, cooking with bacon, I have over 20,000.
Did you do them all, or did you do them most
of
them?
No, I just collect the recipes.
Yeah.
I've been making bacon and blood sausage and liver sausage since I was 9 years old, and I have a passion for all of that. So,
what brings you the biggest joy in dealing with barbecue?
Seeing people enjoy my product.
Yeah. It's nice when they smile, and it's a true warm smile, isn't it?
Well, one thing it really, now I grew up with real baked beans. My mom would soak them overnight and boil them and then do them in the oven. And I was doing some stuff for an AA group I worked with. And the guy came over to me, "Did you those baked beans from scratch?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You don't need to do that." I said, "Why?" He says, "Just get a can of baked beans and doctor them up, and they're not going to know the difference." But I have people that come over, "Man, these are the best baked beans I ever tasted," and they're doctored up beans. And I just laugh.
Yeah.
I says, "Oh, thank you."
Yeah.
I don't know what good baked beans are, so.
No, I understand, because when I do some, occasionally I do some catering jobs and stuff, and I learned right away that making them from scratch, my mom made them the same way growing up. You know, you soaked them, then you boiled them, and then you drained them, then you added your concoctions to it, and you put bacon in it and onion and all that stuff. Then you threw it in the oven for a while.
We used bacon square.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, took a long time, but they were great.
Yeah.
But as I've gotten older, fewer and fewer people know what those are like. And so I call them cheater beans, you know. And I'll buy a couple of number 10 tins if I'm doing a thing, and I kind of rinse them off, get rid of their sauce, put my stuff in there, bake them. And they say, "Man, oh, damn, those beans are good." And yeah, they are good, but they're not like we had when I was a kid. But
that's right.
But they don't, you know, I don't have the time, or I don't take the time to make them that way anymore, just because they don't know the difference, I guess. And I'm being.
Yeah. I come from a big family, and we get together quite a bit. And I have one sister. She makes the beans every year, and it's done the old fashioned way. So I get them once or twice a year that way.
There you go. My sister makes deviled eggs. She makes very, very good deviled eggs. In fact, I judged a couple years ago. I judged a deviled egg competition at a tailgater, but I always laugh at her, and she doesn't listen to the show, so I know I'm safe here, but but she'll come and she'll say, "I want to bring something," and I'll say a couple days before, and I'll say, "All right, bring some deviled eggs." Do you know how long it takes me to make deviled eggs? I just can't. And I'm thinking, my God, I'm putting out a 7-course meal here, And, you know, like that, and I kind of laugh at her. But she's all by herself, and so God bless her for wanting to contribute. But it's like, it takes you as long to make those deviled eggs as it me to take, you know, whatever. So, before we go, and we will have an after-hour segment with Paul, if you could live your life to music, what music would it be?
Country.
There you go. Any particular artist?
No, I like a lot of them that are gone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, George Strait, Tammy Wynette.
Sure.
Garth Brooks. It's Garth Brooks' birthday today.
Well, there you go. There you go. He's getting up there. Anyway, Paul, we're going to
67.
We're going to get out of here. And thank you for being on Barbecue Nation. And, folks, stick around because we're going to do an after-hour segment for those of you who listen to the podcast version. So,
my pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. We'll see you then.